You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Well, hey, my name is Haley.
And my name is Gavin.
And we're super excited to be co-preaching with you guys tonight on week three of our series, Can I Ask That Relationship Series. So week one, we did dating. Week two, we did friendship. And tonight, we're wrapping up with a message on family. So as we're getting ready to start, we want you guys to have your programs with you where you can take notes. There's pens in the center aisle. So if you guys could grab that jar if you're on the aisle seat, grab a pen and then pass the jar to the end so that everybody can get a pen. And why we're talking about family tonight. It's a very important topic for a few different reasons. God has a lot to say about family. God loves family. And surprise, we all have family.
Yeah, so we did a survey and you guys asked us some questions about family. And we picked four of those to talk about today. So those questions are, how much should God be discussed in family? How can I be a bigger person when adults don't treat me fairly? How do I deal with anger and being annoyed? And how can I be a light to my imperfect family? So before we jump into it, me and Haley wanted to introduce you guys to our family. Not in real life, they're not here, but
behind the curtain.
Yeah, we got pictures though. Yeah, so I'm gonna show you guys my family first. So this is the Epp family. Right on the left, that's my brother, Will. He's 2 years younger than me. He's my best friend since we're like, there's barely any age difference. We've been so close our entire lives. And then that's my dad and mom next to him. I love them so much. I feel like I can go to them with anything. Questions about God, questions about life, all that. And then my sister is right next to my mom. She is 4 years younger than me. And yeah, love her too. We used to fight a lot when we were younger, but we love each other now. We're cool now. And then she's holding our dog. Her name's Holly. She's a Brittany Spaniel. She's adorable. We've had her for most of my life, so she's getting old now. But yeah, she's a bundle of energy.
So cool. All right, I have three photos to show you. This is the first one. Wait, I'll give you the cue to go to the next one. But I want you to. You can go to that one. Yeah, this is my family. At the beach, so cool, so beautiful. That's my brother next to me, my dad, my mom, my sister. And the next few photos you're gonna see are the epiphany of a brother-sister relationship. So you can go to the next one, and you can go to the next one. Nice. So that's my family for you. I would love to take a survey amongst you and your family, your siblings, who's me in this situation where your siblings are always pushing you around, shoving you. Okay, I feel you guys. Thank you. Now, who here is my brother who likes to shove around their siblings? Okay, yeah. Thanks a lot, you guys. Someone's got to do it though, right?
Yeah. I gladly take that role as the oldest child.
Okay, whatever. Yeah, but this is my family. I know that I can speak for me and Gavin. As fun as those photos are, our families are far from perfect. But again, we love them so deeply. Because of that.
Yeah. So the first question we're going to touch on tonight is, how much should God be discussed in family? And the short answer I have for you guys is that God should be at the center of our families every day. So those are your guys' two first fill-ins on your sheets. So whether that be in discussion or how we love our siblings or obey our parents, God should be at the center of our families every single day. And obviously, we can't control the family that we were born into. And some of us may not be part of a family that believes in God or would even call themselves Christian. But God calls us to love those who don't have a relationship with him so that they can know what it's like to experience his goodness. So I wanted to share with you guys a little bit of my story, my childhood. I feel very blessed to say that I grew up in a Christian home. And I would definitely say that I fell under the category of God being discussed every single day in my family. And we didn't just talk about him. God was involved in every single aspect of my life growing up. We would have nightly family devotions at the dinner table after eating, where my dad would lead us in like Bible studies, where we'd maybe study a chapter of the Bible for a month, or explore a specific person like Moses for a month. It was like every single night, dinner, we had devotions right after. And then something I think about a lot now in my adulthood is a habit that my parents kind of instilled in me and my siblings back when we were younger that drove me like absolutely crazy. They made us recite a very specific Bible verse whenever me and my siblings fought with each other. And that was 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7, which is, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So the reason that would drive me crazy is because I remember I'd be like screaming at my sister and she'd be screaming at me, and I'd be like desperately trying to tell my dad, like, she started it, and then like he'd interrupt me and be like, love is what? And then he'd like make me recite the verse until I finally understood the fact that it's not okay to push my sister into the bushes in our front yard. But yeah, that's like a habit I think about a lot now that he and my mom instilled in both, in all three of us, is that love is patient, love is kind, love is all those things, and that we should prioritize loving our siblings over anything else. And all of this is to say that having discussions about God and using his word as a guideline for how I treated my siblings has deeply shaped who I am and my relationship with God today. Talking about God on a daily basis and asking my parents questions about heaven, sin, Jesus, and all of the other stuff in the Bible, and all the other things we believe in, helped me build a strong foundation on which my faith in God stands. And to this day, that verse still sticks in my head when I'm tempted to do or say something that isn't loving to not just my siblings and my mom and dad, but anyone else. And so, yeah, that was something that was very central to me and my family growing up. But what do we do if we are part of a family that isn't Christian or maybe doesn't believe in God? I think we want to clarify that it is not a sin and you are not failing if you aren't talking about God with your family every single day or sharing the gospel with your family every day. God calls us to love those who don't have a relationship with him so that they can know what it's like to experience his goodness. What's most important is modeling what life following God looks like, so that they're intrigued to maybe ask us questions about our faith or get curious about going to church with us. And I think the story of Joseph in Genesis is the perfect example of this and how to share God's love with our family in situations where it might be harder to love on them or maybe they don't believe the same things we do. So if you guys know the story of Joseph, it's pretty gnarly. Joseph's brothers hated him so much that they sold him to the Ishmaelites, and they took him to Egypt to never see his family ever again. And I'm not sure about you guys, but that kind of sounds like the opposite of a loving family that talks about God a lot. And if I was Joseph, I'd probably like hate my brothers and be like, you don't deserve to hear about God because you sold me off. But that's not what Joseph did. Years later, when he was a powerful man in Egypt, his brothers came to him, begging him to help them because there was a famine and they had no food. And he could have just rejected them and treated them with hatred for selling him away. But instead, he helped them, giving them food and welcoming them with open arms. Because Joseph saved his brothers, they would eventually go on to become the 12 tribes of Israel, God's chosen people who would eventually bring us Jesus. So regardless of how difficult our relationship is with our family, God calls us to show them love, grace, and patience, and God will use that to spark conversations about him in our daily lives. And if you ever worry about your family and your relationship with them or whether they will ever have a relationship with God or want to talk about God, Exodus provides us with some encouragement in chapter 14, verses 13 to 14. It says, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still.
Awesome. All right, let's go to question number two that you guys asked. How can I be a bigger person when adults don't treat me fairly? So I want to share a story with you as I answer this question. I got grounded a ton when I was in high school. That was my parents' form of punishment. And I remember my junior year, specifically I got grounded for a couple of weeks. I got my phone taken away, I wasn't able to go see friends, and the worst thing, I wasn't able to go to homecoming. And someone had already asked me, made a sign, brought like flowers, and then I got grounded like a week before, and I had to tell them, hey, I got grounded, I can't go anymore. It was so sad. Oh well. So obviously because of that, I was like, my parents are being so strict. This is ridiculous. I can't believe I can't go to homecoming. And I decided to come up with this genius plan. I thought it was so smart. I was going to find scripture in the Bible that basically said, you guys are being too harsh on me. You're being way too strict. You guys need to let me enjoy my life. And so I go and I search in the Bible. And this is what I found. It was Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I'm like, oh, dang it. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. I was like, are you kidding me? This is not what I was looking for. But even though the truth is I learned from this verse, even though I disliked being grounded by my parents and getting in trouble, truly just being caught, I realized that God commands us to honor our parents. And this is a truth I want all of you to hear tonight. If this is the one thing you walk away from when it comes to parents, I want you to hear this. Our parents don't discipline us because it's fun for them or because they want to take things away from us. It's because they want us to live a long, enjoyable life. They're teaching us life lessons. They're shaping us into mature people that will one day be an adult with responsibility. So let's revisit the original question. How can I be a bigger person when adults don't treat me fairly? I want us to kind of reshape this question. I want to ask you guys a question. Who is the judge of what is fair? And is it just you that thinks it's unfair? And the truth is, if you're complaining about, let's say, a punishment that you received, or I want you to think about why you received it. I had to think back to, okay, why did I get grounded? Well, I lied to my parents, and they're not going to let me get away with that. I deserved it because I disobeyed my parents. Now, if the answer to that question is yes, they are treating me unfairly, I didn't deserve this, then I would encourage you guys to talk to them and communicate. We're encouraged to talk and communicate. Matthew verse 18, 15 says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. Something else I want you guys to realize is your parents are imperfect. And however old they are, I don't know, my parents are 55 right now. This is their first time ever being 55. And when I was a teenager, they were, 40-something. That was their first time being 40-something. And this is their first time raising teenagers. So they're also figuring this out as they go. So they probably will make mistakes, but if you guys communicate with them, they'll be able to learn how to do that better. Another thing I want you to think about is if you have a habit, which I have to confess I did, especially when I was in high school, if you go and gossip to your siblings or your friends about your parents before trying to talk to your parents saying, oh, mom is, mom's the worst, or oh, dad's so annoying because of this, that's gossip, and that's a sin. Plus, it won't solve the problem at all. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be beneficial to those who listen. So your next fill-in is this. If you believe your parents are being unfair, don't gossip about them. Instead, communicate with them in a way that is helpful for them and for you.
Yeah, so our next question is, how do I deal with anger or being annoyed? So as much as I talked about how I loved my family when I was younger and I still love my family, obviously it wasn't always that easy. So Yeah, it definitely does not mean that my relationship with my parents and siblings was perfect. I fought with all of them constantly, and specifically my siblings and specifically my sister. We could be really horrible to each other when we were younger. We knew exactly how to get under each other's skin, push each other's buttons, and we would fight over the dumbest things until, like I said, we were like screaming and yelling at each other and didn't want to talk to each other for days. So the biggest thing for me through all of that is that I always felt like I knew better than my siblings because I was the oldest. So I was convinced that I was right and they were wrong, that my brother needed me to tell him what to do and how to do it, and that my sister needed to be bossed around when my parents weren't there. And the reality of that is that none of those things were true. I'm only 2 years older than my brother, like I said, and 4 years older than my sister, so there's nothing really that qualified me in any way to kind of parent them or tell them what to do. And I know that even if my brother or sister was picking on me or picking a fight with me, that I would lash out in anger just to try and get a response out of them or get them in trouble. I couldn't control myself because we lived with each other, so they knew me, they knew how to make me mad in seconds, and that if I did get mad, I couldn't escape it. So I would just try to do the same thing back at them until like we were just fighting constantly. So the next thing I want you guys to know, and this is your next fill-in, and similar to what Haley just said about our parents, is that our siblings are also just as imperfect as we are. They are human, and they sin, and we are human, and we sin. And it talks about that in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So how can we manage that anger and being annoyed at our siblings, or even our parents, if we don't have siblings? Be slow to anger. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So when we antagonize and fight back because we are frustrated with what they've said, our siblings are going to become just as angry until feelings are hurt and trust is broken. Be kind and loving so as to not cause conflict and damage your relationship with the people who know you best. The next point is to settle the conflict before the end of the day. Ephesians 4:26 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. So this is something that my dad really instilled in me when I was younger, especially when it came to fighting with my siblings, which was not going to bed before the conflict was settled or before I asked for forgiveness from my siblings or I forgave my siblings. Because when you go to sleep without forgiving your sibling or apologizing for what you've done, that anger just carries over into the next day and it festers and it gets worse. And it's going to control you. It's going to control your brother or your sister and how you treat each other. So the biggest thing I would say is to settle that before you move on to the next day. And then I just wanted to finish that question up by giving you guys 1 Peter 4:8, which says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins.
All right, our last question we're answering tonight is, how can I be a light to my imperfect family? Raise your hand if you have a perfect family. Samuel, you just lied, therefore you are the imperfection in your family because you just sinned. So, sorry, that was kind of mean. Surprise, none of us have a perfect family. Are any of us surprised by that? No, nobody has a perfect family, right? Except for Samuel, apparently. I'm just kidding. So I want to share with you guys another story about how my brother was actually a light in my family and helped our family go from being lukewarm Christians to Christ-centered Christians. So growing up, we went to church all growing up, but to be honest, I did not enjoy going to church. I only went because my parents made me. I never desired going. If they ever decided to skip a Sunday, I was like, praise the Lord, for not going to church, that sounds weird. But I was like so stoked to not have to go to church. Then my brother, he's a year older than me, his freshman year of high school, he went to summer camp. He was the first one out of all of us to go to a camp, and he had the best time ever. His life changed. He gave his life to Christ, and he started getting involved. He got in a life group. He started serving in church, got really involved, and he started telling me, hey, you should come to church. You should get involved. And I was like, psh, nah, that sounds lame. Like, I don't know anybody at church. That doesn't sound fun. Like, church is boring. And then a year in, he told me, hey, you should come to camp. And again, I was like, absolutely not. That sounds like a terrible idea. I don't want to do that. My mom overheard, and she said, oh, that's a great idea. So she signed me up for camp. I was so mad at her. I did not want to go. I was literally dragging my feet to the buses to get to camp. This is my freshman year of high school. And all I have to say is that week changed my life forever. And that week, I gave my life to Christ. That started an amazing relationship with Jesus that is sprouted from that week of camp. And I give a lot of that credit to my brother, who started this domino effect. And after I went to summer camp, I joined a life group, I got involved in church, I started serving with kids ministry. My parents saw that, and they ended up serving in ministry. And then my sister, same thing with her, she started coming to her junior high ministry and went to camps. And all of a sudden, all five of our family members were really involved in church. And it all started from my brother, who got more involved in church. And he was the light in my imperfect family that helped us go from lukewarm Christians to Christ-centered. I want to read a passage from Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and gives it light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So we want to close this message by giving you guys some action steps. So whether or not your family knows Jesus, here are some ways for you to be a light in your family. First thing, you can encourage your family to attend church. As you heard the story I just shared, that was a huge impact on my family. If they're not coming regularly on Sundays, encourage your family to come regularly. If you have siblings that don't come on Wednesday nights to HSM or JHM or even Awana on Wednesday with the kids' ministry, and encourage them to start attending. Another thing you can do is you can pray at meals. If this is something your family normally does, maybe only your parents pray, or maybe just your dad, that was something my family regularly did, you can volunteer to pray and see kind of how that will shift your family in a really cool, positive way. Another thing you can do is pray for your family members, whether that's privately, whether that's with them in person. Prayer is really powerful, and prayer makes an impact. Another thing you can do is ask your family challenging questions, such as, hey, why don't we go to church? And just see what they say. And it can start them sort of thinking about maybe why we don't, and maybe we should start going. And I want to encourage you, if you hear some of these things and you're like, oh, I'm kind of afraid of rejection. Like, what if my family turns me down? Would you rather, at the end of your life, know that you tried being a light, or regret that you didn't try at all? I think that's something to really consider when it comes to rejection. It's worth trying, rather, to get to the end of your life and realize I regretted not trying. Okay, our final challenge for you, and you'll do some fill-ins right now, so make sure you get your pens ready. There is something called love languages. Anybody heard of the love languages? There's five of them. Okay, cool. It's a really cool study that was done, and it's basically the top five different ways that people feel most loved by others. The five love languages are acts of service, words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, and gifts. So they're pretty self-explanatory. I'll give a few examples in a minute, but my challenge for you is right now to write a different family member's name next to each love language that you believe fits them best. So if you know your mom loves hugs, hers might be physical touch. If your sister, when you try to hug her, she punches you in the shoulder, then hers is probably not physical touch. That's my sister. My sister loves to buy gifts, so I know that hers is gifts. So a few examples that you guys can do, and feel free to write this down next to that name if you hear something that you might want to try. Acts of service could be making your siblings lunch for school one day. That's something really sweet and thoughtful. Words of affirmation could be complimenting your sibling's outfit, or writing a note and leaving it in your parents', you know, bathroom window, or leaving it on the fridge, just saying, hey, love you, or putting it on their car. People love words of affirmation. People love handwritten things. Quality time. This could be taking your siblings to the movie theater. Physical touch, giving someone in your family a nice big hug. Gifts. This could be bringing your mom home flowers or bringing your brother Chick-fil-A spontaneously just because you want to.
Yeah, so as we wrap up, we really want you guys to not just hear today's message, but put it into action as well. And it can be hard sometimes, and that's because our families are imperfect. But you can take today's advice from both me and Haley as a way to just start small. But we just want to pray for you all so that God gives you the courage to do that. So let's bow our heads and pray. God, I just want to thank you tonight for all these amazing students that are here and that we all get to gather and worship you and learn more about you in this space. I lift each and every one of our families up to you right now, regardless of their faith, whether they have a relationship with you or only come to church on the holidays or want nothing to do with you. I just pray that we would all be a light to our siblings and our parents every single day. Give us the patience to not get angry or argue with our siblings and moms and dads. Give us the willingness to obey and honor our parents when they set boundaries for us or provide us with guidance. Give us the courage to share the gospel with those of our family members who don't know what it's like to be loved by you. We love you so much, God, and we thank you for everything you've done for us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.